Amen. Let's look in 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. And I'm going to share a message entitled, Desire to Make a Difference. And I don't know about you, I have a desire in my heart to make a difference in people's lives. And certainly it ought to be a goal that we have to be able to encourage others and make a difference in their lives as we live our Christian life. We certainly want to make a difference in the world in which we live. And so in 1 Kings chapter 3, we'll look at Solomon and how he responded to an offer that God gave to him. 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. In Gibeah, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, but riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all of his servants. Let's pray. God, we're thankful for this passage, Lord, where we can read of this conversation between the Lord and Solomon. I'm thankful, Lord, for the desire that was on Solomon's heart that, Lord, we can come before you even now and long to be able to be an influence, and certainly be live a life that will impact others for the cause of Christ. And so, Lord, I prayed you'd speak to us in a special way tonight as we consider some things in the life of Solomon that will help us to also live a life that will be not just be pleasing to the Lord, but will impact very many other people. So bless the preaching of the word of God, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text verse is verse 9. Solomon's response to the request that God gave to him is, Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And so if God, when I read this passage, I often thought of this, if God would grant you one request, what would it be? If God came to you and said, ask me anything you want, I'll do it for you, what would your request be? Solomon certainly had the privilege of watching God bless, protect, and use his father David. And now Solomon is sitting on the throne, and he is the king over Israel. And God comes and asks him, what shall I give to thee? Now, there's many promises that are in the Bible, many things that we can grab a hold of and be assured of. Now, certainly God's presence is a promise that God has given us, that he would never leave us nor forsake us, according to Hebrews 13 and 5. And so that would be a wonderful thing to mention before the Lord, would stay with me, may I be able to enjoy your presence, but God's already promised that he would do that for us. And certainly we know that God had promised his power. In Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. And so we've already been promised God's presence, been promised God's power. We've been promised God's provision, for my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so every need that I have in life, I know that God is going to provide for those needs as I walk with him and serve him. And then also God's protection. Paul would say in Romans chapter 8, if God be for us, who can stand against us? And so there's many, many promises that are outlined in the Word of God, things that God said he would do for us and care for us and providing for us in a great way. And so now, based on all those promises, he comes to Solomon and says, okay, Solomon, ask me whatever you will, and I'll do it for you. And the interesting thing is Solomon's request is just simply, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Solomon's desire was to make a difference in the life of Israel. His desire was to make a difference in the life of the people of God. And so, desiring to make a difference. And let's look at a few things here. What God would do in Solomon's life, enabling him to make a difference in other people's lives. First of all, I think we can make a difference in other people's lives if we just simply listen to God. Because as he says here, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. And in order to gain an understanding heart, there must be an awareness of the presence of God, and awareness that God has something he wants to say to us. If we're not willing to listen to God, how in the world can we have an understanding heart to be able to discern other people's needs? And so listening to God involves a conscious influence of God in our life. You know, Elijah in chapter 19 of 1 Kings very quickly understood that there was a still small voice of God that would speak to him and minister to him. The Apostle Paul acknowledged the fact that there was a witness that God had for him in speaking to him in chapter 9 of Romans in verse 1. He says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. And so when we talk about wanting to be an influence and impact other people's lives, there needs to be a conscious awareness or an influence of God in our life. We need to be able to listen to what God is saying, be able to discern what he has said, and then be able to apply it into our lives and respond based on what God has revealed to us. Solomon was willing to listen. He said, give me an understanding heart so that I can care for thy people, Israel. So it is a conscious influence of God. Listening to God also involves this consoling presence of God. And in other words, there is always comfort in no matter where we are or what is going on because of the fact that God is present with us. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, in the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so knowing that God is ever present with us enables us to be able to impact others. Colossians chapter 3, in verse 5, it says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And that's not the verse I wanted. I wanted verse 15. Amen. So verse 15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And so the consoling presence of God, I can help others and encourage others when I'm aware that God is with me. Somebody is not confident of God's presence or God's move in their life is not someone that encourages and challenges me. I can tell you, I don't want to listen to somebody who's responding humanistically to situations in my life. I want to talk to somebody who's been with God, someone who's experienced the presence of God, and they can communicate to me what God has done in their life. And so listening to God involves this matter of the conscious influence, but it also involves this consoling presence of God in our lives. And then there's the conflict of the natural and the spiritual. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul helps us to understand that conflict in the flesh and also between the spirit. And the natural man, he tells us, cannot receive the things of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, he reminds us of this conflict. He says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." And so there is a conflict between the flesh and the spirit, and I certainly am not going to be able to listen to God if I'm walking in the flesh. I'm certainly not going to be able to comprehend what it is that God wants to say to me when I am allowing the world and the devil and the flesh to influence me and impress things on my heart and in my mind. The spiritual things are foolish when we're walking in the flesh. And so I want to listen to God, because if I'm not listening to the Lord, then I'm certainly not going to be able to understand what the will of God is for me. I'm not going to be able to understand what the will of God is for someone else. I'm certainly not going to be able to discern what it is that God is doing in someone's life if I'm not willing to listen to God. So Solomon said, "Well, listen, I want to be able to have an understanding heart so I can minister to the people of God." But then he goes on and says, "That I may discern between good and bad." So he not just wanted to listen to God, he wanted to learn from God. And it doesn't do much good for us just to listen to the Lord but never learn anything. And we need to learn what it is that God is saying and how it's going to impact us. And we need to be willing, in order to do that, to ask for wisdom. In James chapter 1 in verse 5 and 6, James says, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed." And so asking for wisdom. And Solomon is asking for wisdom from God. He said, "Give me an understanding heart so I can discern between good and what's bad." And if we'll ask God for wisdom, then God will grant that to us. Notice the faithfulness of God in this matter of wisdom. "He giveth unto all men liberally and upbraideth not." And sometimes people have said, "Well, I just don't get the mind of God like you do. I don't understand what God's saying like you do." Well, if you'll listen to the Lord, you can learn from God what it is he wants you to be and what you can do to be a help to someone else. Many times folks have talked with people and their situations are going through. I don't have the answers. I don't know what to say many times. But I know this, that God is faithful to give us an understanding heart, that he might give us wisdom to know, all right, immediately right now, this is what we need to do. If it's nothing else, then just saying, let's wait on God and listen to what he has to say. Let's learn from him that we might be able to get wisdom. And it's based on the faithfulness of God, but it's also based on the faith of man. In verse 6 says, "Let him ask in faith, not wavering." So we don't have to go to God unassured of the fact that he hears us. We know that he hears us. We don't need to go to God with a sense of him thinking that he will not give to us his wisdom, because he has already promised that he would give us his wisdom. And so we need to come in faith, believing that God is going to respond. So we ask for wisdom. And it's what Solomon did, and God granted him the wisdom. Matter of fact, it said of Solomon that he was the wisest man on the whole earth. And so God will give us wisdom if we just ask him to do that for us. But there's also the act upon wisdom. We need to act upon the wisdom. In other words, wisdom is just not getting a lot of information, but wisdom is getting information that changes your life and changes other people's lives also. In James chapter 3, in verse 14 through 18, we need to realize, we need to know the source of ungodly wisdom. There is wisdom that's not in line with God. In James chapter 3, in verse 14, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. And so there is wisdom that people gain that is worldly. There is information that they learn, but it's not coming from God. Realize this, not everything that comes from God. I've been listening to a program on Sunday afternoons on church history on my way home. And it's just interesting. You realize that fundamentalists were first called fundamentalists because of the conflict between liberals who believed that evolution would fit into the Bible. And the fundamentalists said, no, evolution is not compatible with the Word of God. Then that they were called fundamentalists. That's where that name came from. And the amazing thing is there's those who have knowledge and wisdom that is earthly and sensual wisdom and knowledge, but it's not coming from God. And if we're going to be able to impact others for Christ, then we must be willing to learn from God and understanding the sources of wisdom that we can gain. Are you getting the wisdom from God, or you're getting the wisdom and information from this world? And because it does make a difference on the outcome of your impact on others. So there is a source of ungodly wisdom. Know the outcome of ungodly wisdom. In James chapter 3 says, for where envying and strife is, this is confusion and every evil work. And so being aware of the fact that when there is essential, earthly, devilish wisdom that's not coming from God, it creates a conflict, an evil work that destroys people's lives. You're still influencing people, but you're influencing people in a negative way. And so we need to know the source of ungodly wisdom and the outcome of ungodly wisdom. But then on the other side, we need to know the exercise of godly wisdom. And so if there is this earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom, then what is the wisdom that comes from God? In James chapter 3 and verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And so exercise of godly wisdom is first pure, it says here in verse 17. The word pure means to be truthful and clean. And there is so much hypocrisy, so much lies today. I cannot believe in the United States of America how many people have high security clearances. They know private information that are detrimental to our security as a people, and they go into meetings like that, they hear stuff, they record stuff, and then they publish stuff that is classified material. Now listen, I was in the Marine Corps. I had a top secret security clearance because I worked in the communication field. And I'm going to tell you one thing right now. You better not walk out of that communication center and take any information that you are aware of and share it with somebody else. I tell you, some of the stuff I read when I was in there, it was amazing to me what was going on around the world. But I did not have the right, nor did I have the liberty to walk out and share what I had information about. We are living in a day where wisdom is based on earthly, sensual, fleshly wisdom because it's corrupt and it defiles the hearts and the minds of men. And the reality is, wisdom that comes from God is always truthful and it's always clean. And so I want to learn from God. I want to act upon the wisdom that comes from God. That means it's going to be pure. Notice it's peaceable, it says. Then peaceable. First is pure, then it's peaceable. Peaceable means to work peace. You know, Paul would say, as much that lieth within thee, live peace at peace with all men. And sometimes that's a challenge, and sometimes that's a difficult thing to do. But if I'm going to exercise the wisdom of God, then I'm going to strive to be pure and peaceable. And so working that which is of peace and reconciliation. Notice he says, then gentle. The word gentle means suitable or fair. The Christian who impacts others for Christ is one who is fair and just in all of his dealings. He is gentle. Gentle doesn't mean to be necessarily soft. It just means to do what is right and just. It means to be fair in your dealings. And so it's gentle. Notice it says here, gentle and easy to be entreated. Easy to be entreated means it's easy to be obeyed. In other words, when I learn the wisdom of God, it's easy to act on the wisdom of God because it's easy to obey what God has said. His commandments are not grievous. And so I want to be able to impact other people's lives, and so I'm going to live in light of the wisdom of God because it's not difficult for me to obey what God has said. Then it says that it's full of mercy. Mercy means kindness with a desire to help. You know, you get the wisdom of God, there is a heart's desire to help somebody else and to reach out to somebody. You know, there's an awful lot of information that's being spread around that is all it's doing is cutting people, hurting people, creating aggressive situations and all this, that, and the other. And all that is devilish, it is earthly, it is sensual. But God has given us the ability to be full of mercy. And so if I'm going to impact others, I'm going to be a help to others, I need to be merciful. Now, that's difficult for me. I do not have a strong spiritual gift of showing mercy. But God in his grace can help me to be merciful to others. I want to learn about the mercy of God. Notice it says here that it's without partiality. So it's not partial. It means this: you don't show favoritism. James would deal with this showing favoritism. Somebody comes in the church and he deals with it. He's dressed in gay apparel, and that doesn't mean homosexual. It means bright. And, you know, I had somebody one day tell me, well, the Bible says that people can come in gay apparel, so it endorses homosexuality. I said, that's not what it means, you know. And in 2018, you got to be careful what you say sometimes. But anyway, we don't show favoritism to somebody that comes in, and it's very clear they might be wealthy. We don't put people down that come in that may not be dressed as well as somebody else. The wisdom of God is not partial. We don't show favoritism to certain people. We go soul winning in wealthy neighborhoods, middle-class neighborhoods, and the down-and-out neighborhoods. Because God is not partial, so we can't be partial about these things. And so the wisdom of God has no partiality whatsoever. Notice it says, without hypocrisy. The word without hypocrisy just simply means does not pretend or play act. In other words, you're real. You're not a phony. You're not trying to be somebody else. Dr. Malone used to say for 4 years, I heard him say, men, be real, be yourself. You don't have to be anybody else. Just be real. And I have learned over the years that's what impacts people's lives is somebody who's just real. That's all it is. Just be sincere. You don't have to put on a play acting pretense. Just you be concerned about people, gain the wisdom of God so that you can act properly to impact their life. And then he says this in verse 18, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. And the fruit of righteousness means it just produces the right conduct. The fruits of the Spirit, Paul will deal with in Galatians chapter 5. There'll be the right outcome in your life when you act upon the wisdom of God. So it's so important for me to listen to God, but it's also important for me to learn from God. And Solomon said, give me discernment between good and bad. God needs to give us a discerning heart so that we know what is right and we know what is wrong. Well, learning from God also involves this matter of accepting true wisdom. In the book of Ephesians, Paul would deal with this a little bit for us. In Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 14, about this matter of accepting true wisdom. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14, says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And so accepting true wisdom is to be alert. He says, awake thou that sleepest. And God wants us to understand there is a sense of urgency in the world that we are living in that we must impact people for Christ. And so we take the wisdom that God has revealed to us. We want to learn from God. He said he'd give us the wisdom. He told us that he would help us to know how to act upon that wisdom. But wait a minute, let's just accept the reality that we need that wisdom right now. We need to wake up and smell the roses, as they say. Amen. So be alert. Be careful. In verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fool, but as wise. Be careful. You know, I hate to burst your bubble, but everything that's on the internet is not Christian, even though it says Christian. It's not Christian. And so you need to be careful. You need to walk circumspectly. And it's just an interesting to watch a cat. And I had one cat years ago. What was his name? Sterling. Yeah. That cat, I never saw a cat so clumsy in all my life. I don't care what that cat walked on, it knocked it over. I mean, what a mess. The cat we've got now, and my wife will kill me, that was her favorite cat anyway. But she was clumsy. Admit it. Amen. Huh? Sterling, she was clumsy. Knocked it. Yeah, say amen, I got it. Well, I'll tell you, confession's good for the soul. The cat I have now, it's amazing what she walks around and over and nothing moves. I'm like, how did she do that? She's walking circumspectly. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be able to travail through life in a circumspect way, in a way that we're not running people over, but we're being a help to people. But in the process, we're being careful that we're not getting messed up also. And so be careful, be careful. Notice this, be frugal in verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You only have so much time to be able to live. That's it. I don't know what it is. Every man has an appointment with God. It's appointed unto man, but wants to die. After this, the judgment. I don't know when your day appointment with death is. But the reality is you better redeem the time because you don't know how much time you have. And so we need to be frugal with our time, with the wisdom and opportunities God gives us. And then be surrendered. Verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And so if we're going to learn from God, we're going to accept the wisdom of God and be aware of the fact that we must surrender ourselves to the will of God. And then the last thought on this, learning from God, is to acknowledge God's wisdom and being aware of the fact that, wait a minute, God is smarter than I am. And many times we don't want to acknowledge that. But in Psalm 119, in verse 160, tells us of the word thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. In other words, God is always right about every subject. Every subject God addresses, every subject God reveals to us about what life is about is always, God is always right. He's been true from the beginning. And the greatest thing that we can do as a Christian to impact other people's lives, we want to make a difference, is to hold to the reality that God is right. He doesn't make any mistake. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? God doesn't do wrong. And listen, it'll impact others if you hold to the truth that, wait a minute, the wisdom that comes from God is real wisdom because it is never wrong. God is never wrong. And so we see that we listen to God, we learn from God. Solomon said, give me an understanding heart. Solomon said, give me the ability to discern between good and bad. And then we see we need to lean on God because his response was, for who is able to judge this thy people? He said, I'm not able to do this. And may I say this, that there is none of us that are able to do this Christian life without God. You can't do it by yourself. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. People say, well, I could do something. No, you can't. You can't do anything. Without me, you can do nothing. We must lean on God so that we can impact others' people's lives. You know, when we do that, when God's call, when his call seems unrealistic. You know, the interesting thing is that throughout the Bible and certainly throughout our lives, God sometimes puts calls on our lives that seems totally out of line and unrealistic to fulfill. And I believe God does that because he wants us to lean on him. He doesn't want to stand on our own. He wants us to depend on him. In Exodus chapter 3, when God would call Moses in verse 11, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? Think about this. Here is the children of Israel in bondage as slaves for 430 years, and God calls Moses to go before the most powerful king on the face of the earth at that time, to release a people that have been in slavery for 430 years with no weapons, with no army, with no political clout, just go and bring my people out. Now, I think that's a little unrealistic. I don't know about you. I think I'd be like Moses, because Moses said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee. That's the difference. Yes, and so when it seems unrealistic, what God is impressing on your heart that he wants you to do, remember this, that, wait a minute, you can impact others for Christ because of the fact it is not about you, it's about the God who has called you and who will go with you. Some of the things God wants us to do is just unrealistic. But I'll tell you one thing, they're impacting other people when God is brought into the picture, amen? So lean on God. When not only lean on God when his call seems unrealistic, but lean on God when his message seems too severe. And Jeremiah's message was a severe message. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4 says, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. And the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words into thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. I'm telling you, when the message seems too severe, we lean on God. I don't know about you. I don't like telling people they have to die and go to hell. I don't like doing that at all. That's a severe message. But I have to lean on God. I don't like preaching on hell. And I have preached on hell in quite a few different times since I've been in ministry. But I tell you, it breaks my heart. Every time I have to preach on hell, I'm like, Lord, no, this is not the message you want me to preach. And God said, this is the message. Get in there and preach it. It's too severe. That's right. All right. You lean on me because it's not your message. It's my message. And I'll do what I desire to do through your mouth because I put my words in your mouth. You lean on God. You can't affect other people or help other people without God's dependence on God. You can't. You need on the Lord, lean on the Lord. When his call seems unrealistic, when his message seems too severe, when the demands are of ministry are beyond your control. I have found throughout the 35 years I've been in ministry, most of the time, the ministry is beyond my control. I would probably say about 99.9% of the time is beyond my control. I learned very early on in ministry that there is nobody's going to do anything that I want them to do. It's not, because people have their own opinions. But I have found out this, that if I preach what God commands me to preach, people respond to what God says to do. And so you don't want to do what I do or do what I say. You don't have to do what I say. You have to do what God says. And so I have found very quickly that ministry is always beyond our control. It's amazing to see the things that happen that you can absolutely do nothing about, but God works it all out. I'm glad that God is in control and he's on the throne. Amen. Because I'll tell you one thing, things get messed up bad enough without me continuing to try to mess them up worse. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, look what Paul says. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as others, some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth and the Spirit giveth life. What is Paul saying? The ministry was beyond my control. My sufficiency wasn't of myself. My sufficiency was of Christ. And so when Solomon is asked by God, what do you want? I'll give you anything that you want. And Solomon was very clear. He said, look, Lord, I want to listen to you. I want to have an understanding heart. I want to comprehend what it is you're saying to me as I lead this people, Israel. I want to learn. I want to be able to discern between right and wrong. I want to discern between good and bad. And matter of fact, Lord, I need to lean on you, because who is able to take care of this people, Israel? You think about all the problems in Israel. You think about all the griping and complaining. You think of everything went on in Israel throughout their history. Who is able to deal with that? So he needed to lean on God. And the amazing thing is this. In verse 10 of our text says, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. You know, sometimes we think we have to put on a pretense with God, when in reality, all God wants us to do is be sincere and surrendering ourselves totally to him. God, I can't influence others. I cannot make a difference in people's lives. And so God, give me an understanding heart. God, I need to learn between what is good and what is bad. And God, I'm going to depend on you because who's able to impact anybody? So God, you've got to do it through me. And I know this, that if we'll approach life as Solomon approached this opportunity that God gives him a request, and how Solomon approached it, he had a desire to make a difference in Israel. And when he had a desire to make a difference in Israel, God heard the conversation and he was pleased. I really believe with all my heart, when we say, God, I want to make a difference. I do want to make a difference. I want to help people. Enable me to do this. I believe God looks down from heaven and says, I'm pleased with that servant. I'm thankful for that person. I'm going to use them to make a difference in other people's lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the life of Solomon. Lord, we really do stand amazed when we think of how much of an influence he had on multitudes, Lord. Lord, it was the fruit of a conversation he had with his God. And Lord, as Solomon cried out for an understanding heart, as he desired to have discernment in gaining the wisdom of God, and as he was dependent completely on his God, Lord, that's where we're at. That's what we long for. That's what we desire. And so be glorified in our midst. Lord, help us to impact others for Christ. And we'll be careful, Lord, always to acknowledge it was the grace and the mercy of God moving through us. And we'll give you all the glory and all the praise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's